Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. Now, Mike Bacsik is not here today. Not sure if he'll be back tomorrow. Perhaps he is not feeling well.
What'd you do to him?
You know his son is not feeling well. But we can get Alec involved on these, unless Corey decides against it. NFL overreaction or reality, because I think this answer is true for Mike. This is your favorite football weekend of the season. Now, I like the division around the best just because there's more games and they're usually still pretty high level. But this is your favorite football weekend of the season.
I feel like this is the weekend where ball or field position, ball possession are supremely important. And you will see occasional risks late in the game, but for the first part of the game, it's two teams trying to feel each other out, maybe try to strike on the first drive and then kind of say, okay, yeah, what are we doing? So it's very intense, very fun, but I'll say overreaction. I am with you. The last round was my favorite.
Okay.
Is typically my favorite round. Plus we got the NCAA, the college football championship.
Man, that is kind of a game changer. Like it feels a little bit unfair, but yeah, if you pack that in, like for sure. Alec?
I'm going to say that this is reality because, you know, it happens to interrupt my pro wrestling schedule. The divisional round does and the national championship game, you know. No, that was just a 1 year thing.
But that's how you know it's almost time for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yes. And super excited for that. But I like the NFC and AFC championship games just because I feel like as a fan of football, I'm more invested in those games. I do prefer having, like you said, a bunch of games on the same day, on the same 2 days, but I do enjoy being overly invested into games as well, especially when my team isn't involved, because then I have no emotional attachment. I just want to watch really good football, and I do start pinpointing things, and I start taking the mental notes of what I saw. I'm not really doing that to such an intense degree with the divisional round, and as like a football purist and dork, I really enjoy being over-invested in these things.
I like that. Corey, this question is going to sting just a little bit. NFL overreaction or reality? Howie Roseman is the best at getting talent. Now, the reason why I pointed this out, if you look at the awards finalists, Saquon Barkley is a finalist for MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Zach Bown, I like to say it like that, is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. Quinyon Mitchell, finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Cooper DeJean, finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think any of those players were on the team last year.
Okay.
And they're all finalists for pretty much the Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like the biggest awards.
So I went and looked up the NFL's best talent evaluators.
Okay.
And this might be different because
these
people might be the best talent evaluators, but not the best at getting that talent. But everybody refers to John Schneider as the best.
I could see
And this is expert opinions, recent surveys. Schneider and Brett Veach from Kansas City are tied as the best. And then John Lynch and Adam Peters, an assistant GM for the Niners. I think that Howie Roseman has complete freedom to build his team.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, Philly wants a winner, and I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to do everything I can to build that for him. So, yeah, man, when it comes to going and getting the best talent, he is not afraid to do it. And you're not afraid to move on from talent that's not living up either.
Alec?
I'm going to go with a wild card here. I'm going to say that this is an overreaction. I'm going to go with Les Snead in the LA Rams. And there's a very specific reason that I say this. And I'm pretty sure I've heard Broadus talk about this at some point, maybe after they won the Super Bowl a few years back. But they slimmed down their scouting and analytics department to, I think it was just about 25 people. And they run the whole operation there when it comes to, you know, pro scouting, college scouting, the analytics and running all the numbers. They let a lot of computers do a lot of the work now and just a few people that they trust to make those final decisions. And you saw that kind of turnaround this year with guys like Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, Puka Nacua in recent years.
Jared Verse is awesome.
Like, they've made some really big moves in the draft without really doing anything in terms of like moving up, moving down. They stay where they are. They trust their board, and it works out for them really well. But the fact that they scaled everything back and said, we're going to have 20 to 25 people at most that we trust to make these decisions and help us pinpoint which guys we like. I do think just overall as a GM, Howie Roseman is probably the best. But I think as a staff, I'm more impressed with what the Rams have done with so much less compared to other front offices.
NFL overreaction or reality, Kevin O'Connell deserves to be the coach of the year. Now, he's up for it. Dan Campbell in Detroit's up for it. Sean Payton's up for it. Dan Quinn is up for it. And Andy Reid is up for it. So
just give it to Andy Reid.
I need to find out how many times he's won coach of the year.
I mean, just give it to Andy Reid because they only lost one game. I mean, last game they didn't care about. They only lost one game. And so, yeah, man, give it to Andy. Sean Payton, wow. Well-deserved. Like, that would be well-deserved considering he had a rookie quarterback and they did what they did this year.
AP Coach of the Year, Andy Reid was it once. You know how many times that was with the Chiefs? None.
Really?
That is interesting. I think
the year when he had Alex Smith, it should be considered one of those.
So, like, there are other awards like Sporting News, Maxwell Club, that he's won more. But as AP Coach of the Year, I think it's only one time, and that was when he was with the Eagles.
Wow, that is impressive that they were able to keep him out.
All right, you know
like
what?
That.
I don't think he's going to win. I still think Kevin O'Connell's going to win, but now I'm kind of bummed for Andy Reid.
No matter how great you are, you just can't win it.
You know what? He can take all his Super Bowl rings. He's like, I'm all right.
Well, and that's,
don't worry about
isn't
it.
Isn't that what Nate always brings up? He's like, always, hey man, you think Troy would exchange the all those Super Bowl championships and that gold jacket for an MVP? No way in hell.
Yeah,
like, he loved winning as a team and being part of that process.
NFL overreaction to reality. Now you have to be specific with the timing of it. Brian Schottenheimer will find out that Brian Schottenheimer is the Cowboys' new head coach today.
From Twitter?
Yeah.
You know, that's how Brian Schottenheimer's
from reputable Twitter, not from Joe in his basement 42.
No, that's what I'm saying is Brian Schottenheimer's sitting there and he pulls up his Twitter and he goes like, crap.
Maybe.
I got to get to work.
I'm saying overreaction to reality. We'll find out today.
Oh, okay.
That Schottenheimer is for sure the new coach.
Okay.
I know we're like pretty sure.
Overreaction. I think they take their time.
Okay. What do you have a different
specific day? Next Monday evening.
Okay. Ooh, I like that.
Monday afternoon, because the games will be talked about at that point and they'll be able to move on.
All right. Alec.
Probably during our show.
What say you? Overreaction or reality? We find out today.
I'm going to say reality because, one, the writing's already on the wall. You've met for like a whole work day in terms of hours spent in meetings over this. Two, I did see Josina Anderson say that the prospects the Cowboys have interviewed have been told and or are not expecting any more conversations. So that is as of 47 minutes ago.
Because we all know it's a done deal. It's just, when's it going to happen?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sharif.
I think that deal was all but signed last night. And I think they were just waiting for the sun to come up. And they're going to wait for drive time. You know, because the home of the Cowboys is going to bring it to you first, right when it happens. And you're going to be listening. My prediction, you're going to be listening to the G-Bag Nation sometime, I don't know, maybe like 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And you're going to find that out. I could be totally wrong, but I think it happens today.
I like the specificity there. NFL overreaction or reality, this weekend will be the most you've ever rooted for Washington in your life.
That's a reality.
I do, too.
I've never rooted for them, but they're exciting. Listen, Dan Quinn in his backwards hat, it's the wrong hat to wear backwards. Look, I know you hate that I wear the snapback hat backwards, all right?
I do.
But he wears the cloth snap backward. Like, what is that, dude? That's the one with the little thing. That's the hat that a guy that never wears a hat wears. You know, he's like, I got to go put a hat on and I got to go see somebody.
I get that.
And guess what? I'm wearing jeans today. That's what he, instead of my slacks. So that's what that, anyway, he's wearing it backwards. He's a fun personality. McLaurin, exciting on-field personality. Jaden Daniels is out. There's a lot of fun storylines with Washington, and it makes me sick. It's disgusting.
Side note, before you answer, Alec, if you ever needed another reason to go to Worth Collecting in Waxahachie, the guy who runs it looks remarkably similar to Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm. What? He does. Like, that's true.
Remarkably similar. And so, like, you should just go there for the great deals. And now they're opening up a spot right next to them for Pokemon stuff. But just walk in. Well, yeah, that's true. Walk in and be like, hey, is Dan Quinn here?
That little area is dope, by the way.
It is.
That little area is
Meat Church is
awesome
down there.
Little thing to walk around. They got an arcade. Yeah.
That's like 15 minutes from my house. How am I just now?
Yeah, Meat Church is down there. Check out the dessert spot. That place is awesome too. But
sometimes they have like a shopping weekend and you can walk and drink, and that's kind of fun. Yeah, you can walk around with your cooler.
Man. By the way, during the break, I did just buy another WWE rookie card.
Look at that.
But I am going to say,
Mike's not here. He's like, I need to fill the eBay void.
I got like three offers during Gridiron Gravy. It was intense. But I'm going to say reality, and it's far and away probably going to be, for the rest of my life, the hardest that I root for the Washington Commanders, because you hit all the nails on the head. But for me, I think the biggest thing that stands out is Dan Quinn. The early success he had. Remember, he was the eighth and final coach hired in last offseason cycle.
Man.
Eighth and final. And you know why it didn't happen? Because Ben Johnson decided he wanted so much money that he diverted his flight back. So he was almost like the side piece that they called up and said, hey, we know we didn't give you the light of day, but we really want you. We don't really, but we really want you. But I'm going to give all the props to Josh Harris, the new owner, and that group. They said, here's what you need. We get out of the way. And one, I just envy that level of ownership and that level of knowledge and just common sense. But two, Dan Quinn is such an amazing human in general that I want to see him avenge the whole, you know, Tom Brady thing that
happened.
And
you can buy cards from him in Waxahachie.
Exactly. So, you know, that I could see a Super Bowl ring whenever it comes in.
That's right. That's a good point. NFL overreaction or reality. And I know you think I might be kidding. Go check it out. I'm not kidding. Every time we see Dan Quinn and Jess is watching football with me, she goes, oh, it's Paul. And I'm like, still Dan Quinn. Overreaction or reality. Matthew Stafford will be back with the Rams for at least one more season.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Okay.
So Matthew Stafford said he's going to take some time to think about it, but added, sure feels like he has more football in him. And then Sean McVay said, hey, we just need clarity sooner rather than later.
Yeah, a lot of their failures this year weren't him. Last year, I thought that he would be the big factor for it, his arm, elbow, shoulder thing. But a lot of it this year was not him. It was other injuries that were a problem. He might look at it and go, you know what, this is the last run, because he's done it. He's accomplished the goal. Sure. He's got a Super Bowl. He's doing a lot. He's got all the money. You know, how much more does he have left? And now he's getting all the acting commercials with him and his wife in their bed. But that is, I think that's a definite reality. He knows he has Puka, a fun receiver to throw to. I think he's excited about working with McVay again. I think he'll be back.
I think this is reality. He'll be back for a couple of reasons. One, I do think he still has something left. Two, I think that team has a lot more to offer. And I think because of the way the NFC is shaped up right now, we've talked about it all year that they are definitely the armpit of pro football right now, just because there's so much. It's either like you got the top with the Eagles and the Commanders right now, obviously in the championship game. And then it feels like there's everybody else in the NFC, at least this season. But the Rams are competitive enough, and they showed it, that they have the right young pieces. We just talked about Fisk and Verse and Puka, so on and so forth. They got to figure out what's going on with Cooper Kupp. That's a whole different story.
That's
but
a good point.
Which I don't think he's on that team next year, just because of salary reasons and age. But a weird kind of contradiction to what we're talking about with Matthew Stafford here. But I think he realizes, I've got one more good chance with this team to run away with it. And then the team is saying, we've got one more chance to find a guy that can be the next step after him.
Okay. I actually think there's some similarities with the next team when you said we got one more really good chance. But I want to see what you guys think. NFL overreaction or reality, the Lions Super Bowl window is wide open for one more season. That's not to say that they're screwed after that. I'm saying it is wide open for one more season. The reason being that Jared Goff, he gets a $5 million raise, but I think his cap number is like $33 million. It's decidedly lower than the best of the best. And then it takes a big jump up in 26.
They lost both coordinators. They're going to have to figure that world out.
Yes,
so,
they do.
And I think their division's just going to get tougher now that Ben Johnson is with Chicago. That's chaos, terrifying right there. And it's just natural that teams get better, you get worse. So this could be one of those where they're fighting for a wild card spot in their own division. I don't think it's wide open, Kevin. Okay. So I think that's an overreaction.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say reality, because one of the silver linings in losing both of their coordinators, at least to this point, at, you know, noon o'clock here Central Time, their assistants that left haven't poached every single other assistant. So if I'm the Lions, I'm saying, hey, maybe a passing game coordinator, maybe a run game coordinator. Somebody spent a lot of extra time with Ben Johnson, and they're ready to be that next step up. Same with Aaron Glenn, maybe like with Al Harris here in Dallas. You have somebody that you have enough trust in that can, one, lead men, but two, just picked up on enough from the previous guy in Aaron Glenn. So they haven't lost everything, and I think Dan Campbell finds weird ways to surround himself with people that are a lot smarter than him, which is, that's what a head coach needs to do. You saw Mike McCarthy do it with Dan Quinn. You know, that's somebody that I thought knew a lot more about certain things than Mike McCarthy, and good on him for doing that. So I think they still have a chance, and the main reason is because you laid it out perfectly. Jared Goff's cap hit is not astronomical yet.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, how much better are sports with a villain? Plus the amazing segment we came up with.
Like Dishonest John?
Or maybe potentially Mariano Rivera.
Oh, no.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Gibby! Meet Freddy! Game one of the World Series!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're asking the question. We got a lot going on in this segment. How much better are sports with a villain? And so, like, there's an article on The Athletic that disputes the notion that the Dodgers are a villain. They're just spending money. And I get that. And do I wish I was a Dodgers fan and our team was spending all of that money right now? Well, hell yeah.
Yeah, what makes a villain a lot of times is jealousy, right?
Yeah.
You're jealous. I hate that guy because he got something I want.
It's interesting. I think we also learned, but you can't have two villains, because that's problematic. Because if you saw the college football playoff national championship ratings, they went down like 12%. So 22 million people watched it, which, again, that's the best non-NFL number that you're going to get. But last year, Michigan and Washington drew 25 million, because I don't know how many people out there hate, like, the University of Washington. But so what we discovered is you need a villain.
More
you
hate.
But if both of them are villains to some people, maybe people won't watch. Because I guess people were like, ugh, I don't like Notre Dame or Ohio State.
Screw these guys.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess that's the formula we learned. But I was thinking about, like, a variety of different circumstances and whether or not you think the Dodgers are a villain. Like, that's not particularly relevant. I think a lot of people will think that the Dodgers are the new evil empire.
Well, and that baseball might need that.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm glad you said that. That is exactly what I think.
Because we've only hated the Yankees forever. And then all these other teams, like, the Rangers aren't hateable.
No.
It's not a hateable team.
No.
Honestly, the Cardinals aren't hateable. They just beat us. Like, you can get past that. But you have a Cubs history, too.
Well, That's a good point, though. But you're right about the Cardinals. That's a very regionalized hate.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody else across the country is like, I hate stupid David Freese. Like, I don't think that's the case at all. But you look at, like, Marlon Humphrey. He stepped out and he said, I have no reason of saying this other than being a hater. The Bills or whatever NFC team got to beat the Chiefs. We can't let them keep getting away with this. You've seen all of the memes posted up that feel like they're trying to lead you down the trail that they're talking about the presidential inauguration, but they're really talking about, we said we'd never let this happen again, but yet the Chiefs are back in the AFC championship game. And I think the Chiefs have now moved into villain mode. I think you can go into villain mode for a couple of different reasons. Like LeBron, when he went with the Heat, he brought that on himself.
Yeah, he did.
Because he was like, oh, I'm sorry that all those people have to live their sad lives, and I'm still here living my life after they lost to the championship.
He wasn't villain whenever he said he's leaving Cleveland to go to Miami. He was a villain once he got to Miami and started doing well.
Agreed. Because then again, I still think he was still what we'll say was the regionalized villain. Like, if you lived in the greater Midwest, maybe you were mad at him for that. Most people were like, eh, I didn't love the way you did the show, but we'll be fine. But then it's when he was like, not two, not three, not four, and everyone's like, okay, I can root against this person.
Somebody's right. Baseball did have the Astros. Everybody hated the Astros for a while, but nobody really cared about the Astros either. So it was like they hated them because they cheated the game.
Okay. Now that brings up a next point. What kind of hateable do you have to be, right? Because, so I see these people's points. I think the Astros were cheating the game. I think the Patriots were cheating the game. Well, actually, we know for a fact they were cheating the game. But it didn't seem like that's
With the balls?
Yeah, that didn't seem, and broken phones and everything that. Yeah. That doesn't seem like that's what got people so sick of the Patriots. They were just like, oh my God, I just hate their stupid faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and that's a weird thing.
They keep winning.
Yeah, and so I'm not disagreeing that people dislike the Astros, but I think more people like, not just because it's the NFL, way more people dislike the Chiefs because they're winning, as opposed to the fact that Andy Reid kept his son on the staff and tried to protect him after he almost killed a little girl and she has permanent brain damage. They care about that. They care because the Chiefs are keep winning, not because they drafted someone who admitted in court documents that they punched their pregnant girlfriend in the stomach. That's fine.
True.
They don't like the Chiefs, not because that Rashee Rice could have killed some people on the highway and there's video of him and his buddies running off. And they're like, well, we're going to let him keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they keep winning. And I think that exact same thing about the Cowboys. I think some people work in personal issues that they have about, like, hey, does Jerry really have a daughter? Why can't we find or another daughter? Why can't we talk about that? I think if they were winning, everyone would be like, well, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
But sports feels so much more fun in this moment, because how many people are going to watch that Buffalo Chiefs game because they want to see the Chiefs lose because they have now become their villain? I know it's going to be a great game, and that's why I'm going to watch. But
your rooting interest changes.
I'm not going to lie. My rooting interests have shifted to Buffalo because I'm just kind of tired of people talking about the Chiefs in a way that they've never done anything wrong. But what they've done wrong is off the field, and they've done a lot of it, but they keep winning.
But Kevin, you're a Karate Kid fan.
I am a Karate Kid fan.
But Karate Kid's not Karate Kid without Johnny or without Danny. Depends on who you decide the villain is there.
So,
like, if it's him just going into a tournament and fighting and learning lessons from Mr. Miyagi, is like, okay, but where's the conflict? What's the battle? And it is Johnny. And so you have to have that. In order to be captivated by the drama of it all, it has to be a villain somewhere, which baseball needs, which basketball feels like it's been missing for a while,
yes,
too. But the NFL can, if all fails, they just break glass on Jerry Jones and say, go full heel mode, Jerry. And he's like, gotcha. Because everybody loves to hate the Cowboys.
Man, so you've just hit on something that plays a lot in wrestling, right? Because, like, one of the things that always bent Roddy Piper out of shape is everyone gave Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan credit for WrestleMania. And he was like, WrestleMania is not WrestleMania unless you have somebody that you want to see get their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you bring up the LeBron thing, like LeBron with the Heat, isn't that why everyone fell in love with the Golden State Warriors in part eventually? Because they're like, hey, what came from the ashes of the Heat not like really doing, I mean, they, I know they won two championships, but they didn't take over the world like they thought they would. bam, then there's the Heat. Look at these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gave up on Steph Curry. He's got a bum ankle. Everybody gave up on Klay Thompson. Like this ragtag group, they had to replace their coach. And everybody loved them.
Even when they got Kevin Durant.
But then it started to shift, right? Like that lasted for a minute.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, the Warriors suck and Kevin Durant sucks because I don't like them.
I'm
back to rooting for LeBron because he went back to his hometown team.
I'm so sick of watching Steph shoot threes and smile and do his little go to sleep baby thing. I'm so tired of it because they're having fun out there. That's how we are, Kevin. That's how we all are. We want to build it up. We want to watch that rise. And then we want to see the next underdog take their place up there.
I think there's an argument to be made. I'm sure there's other cultures like this. I just happen to live in America. That
you what?
Yeah, it's true. That America's second favorite pastime is that underdog building themselves up in the world. Surpassed only by the number one pastime of tearing them down once they do get to the top of the mountain. Because we love to see people succeed, but man, do we love to see people fail. So you look at basketball right now.
And while we could be sitting there just enjoying dominance, in whatever
sure.
it is, you go, you know what? I'm tired of this dominance.
And I will point out, I am guilty about this. Because I want to see the Chiefs lose. Because I'm just like, I got it. Win a lot.
You rooted for Philadelphia to win a Super Bowl.
I did, because I really despise Tom Brady. And that's fair. So in basketball right now, you pointed it out. LeBron, I know there's plenty of people don't like LeBron, but he's older now.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like as much of a threat. Not that that team's not good, but they have other players that are really good too. So I don't know that basketball has that super hateable villain. College basketball does, just because I love Duke basketball, but they are inherently dislikable. I get it because they slap the court and they look all happy to be there. And people are like, God, I hate them so much.
And they're elitist.
Yeah, and they're an elitist private school. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand all of that. For the longest time, it was the Yankees. Now it feels like in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers have taken over. Whether you're just like, hey, they're smarter than MLB because they figured out I can defer all this money and make my way out of paying some of the luxury tax. That sucks, but they were just smarter than everybody else. But they're the villain. The Chiefs in the NFL, for some people, they're the villain. And I feel like that just makes sports so much more fun.
That's why they tried to bring Taylor Swift in. She's a villain, right? Like, but they tried to bring her in as part of the, hey, look, it's happy and fun. It's a love story. And now people are like, nope, gonna hate her.
And it is weird too, right? Because, look, I'll admit, I've heard several Taylor Swift songs like on the radio and I'm like, oh yeah, that's really catchy. But I don't have like a really strong love or dislike of her music one way or another because my wife doesn't care about her and I don't have any daughters or anything like that. So I'm like pretty indifferent. She's clearly, hey, keep doing what you're doing, girl, because you're making all the money in the world and you're super famous. But it wasn't until she got involved with the NFL that I heard all these people who dislike her. And it's not even for things that she can control. Because, like, what is Taylor Swift really doing? Like, let's say you believe right. everything about their relationship.
She's distracting everybody from the game.
How?
By being there.
That is not a good enough answer.
No one's dying.
Because, yes, Jason Kidd's right. Because I would argue then, shouldn't you hate, like, Fox and CBS for going to her every
time?
I do.
Gosh, it's the worst.
If you believe that everything about this relationship, and I know some people are like, oh, it's PR, blah, blah, blah. If you believe that everything about this relationship is straight up, then so Taylor Swift is just going to support the man that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
That's not hateable, but it's when she's on camera all the time, which she doesn't run the production truck at CBS.
Hanging out with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, why does that bother people?
Right?
Yeah.
No, Mike, not right. And so I think there's so much more excitement going into this AFC championship game, not only because as football fans, it's a game we all want to see, but much like the Cowboys in, I don't know, every game they've ever played, it feels like a lot of people are going to tune in to see if they lose.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Ohio State got that with Urban Meyer for a long time. I know you brought up just in this last one, but with Urban Meyer for a long time, you were just like, I hate Urban Meyer. I want to see him lose today. I really want to see him lose today.
Yeah, look, and this is a fair point. I've seen some people, Kevin, if you hate Tom Brady, you need to cheer for Patrick Mahomes so he'll become the new GOAT. I think my hatred more was like, as a kid, I loved Joe Montana, and to see the idea that he would be surpassed was just so crushingly sad to me. And it's not just that I need somebody to take out Tom Brady. I'm like, it's done. Now, if somebody takes out Tom Brady, then Montana falls to 3. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who's like, bro, that's already happened.
The 214, I want to watch football, not Taylor Swift.
But that's not her fault. She's not in the production truck. Say it. Give me camera one. Give me the Swift cam.
Do you do the same thing, too, whenever they go to the cheerleaders or when they go to, you know, Rowdy or whenever they go to the fan shots?
I'm not going to lie, Corey. A lot of times
you're like, hey, get back to the field.
It depends on what's happening in the game. My opinions on outside stuff are directly dictated by if my team is losing or not. Because, like, look, all right, if it's 21-0, yeah, you can show whatever jackassery you want because my team is rocking. If we're losing and it's 31-10, I'm like, stop it. Get back to the field so I can watch my team disappoint me again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know there's other people who have said there's other reasons that they don't like Taylor Swift. That's fine. But there's a lot of people, you can like or don't like whoever you want. I just think it's weird that they keep talking about how she's distracting from the game because she's there to see her boyfriend.
She's there to watch the game too.
Yes. Yes. And somebody, you don't see Josh Allen's fiance on TV, and she is an actress who's pretty famous. That's not her fault.
Fox, CBS shouldn't be talking about football,
fair,
not Taylor Swift.
Fair.
But they do
so
that all the time,
hate
right?
Them.
Don't they do that all the time with all sorts of
for
celebrities
sure
that are at games?
Like, think about when we almost had to cancel Brett Musburger because he was like, my God, how hot is that Alabama quarterback's fiance? I mean, she's like a Kit Kat because I want to break me off a piece of that.
Did
like,
he really we, say
no,
that?
But essentially, that's what he's saying. We almost had to cancel him for that. Luckily, that happened for him like 10 years too soon that people were concerned about it. But like, why don't more people hate the TV broadcasters and the production companies for doing it?
Mm.
Taylor Swift doesn't have a sign that says, go to me now, CBS.
So, because don't we get all excited? Like, the Rangers players just showed up at the Stars game the other night. That place went insane whenever they went to the camera and said, look, Evan Carter and all these guys are hanging out at the baseball game. John Gray's here.
Okay, but would you eventually turn on them if they became season ticket holders and they were always there and the camera always showed them and you're like, what the crap in hell is this? We're about to go to the Cup final.
That's my Rangers team right there supporting. I love them.
I wonder how many Stars fans would get mad who don't love the Rangers. They're like, I'm tired of this garbage.
Tired of these Rangers players coming in here.
You don't spotlight any of the other people that bought season tickets.
Dang, I never thought about that. From the 469, Musburger said she was smoking hot. So there you go.
Like, and he went on and on. You remember that. Was it McElroy?
Yeah.
He went on.
No, not McElroy. It
was
McCarron.
The quarterback.
McCarron.
Oh, McCarron. But he went on and on about how attractive he
Catherine
thought that
Webb.
Girl. Yes. And just.
She is pretty.
And if nothing else, I might just be in the category of Marlon Humphrey.
They're
and
married now, by the way.
Brett Musburger is married to Catherine Webb?
No.
I'm just kidding. That makes sense
McCarron
to me.
And his girlfriend.
And that's delightful. And I hope they have a lovely family and stuff. And I still wonder if Brett Musburger like stewed about that
cute,
for years
cute little
and years.
Boys.
But I think a lot of us are Marlon Humphrey. I have no reason of saying this other than being a hater. The Bills or whatever NFC team got to beat the Chiefs. We can't let them keep getting away with this. And I think that's the category I've started to fall into. Because I know Mike a couple weeks ago was like, well, if you don't like the Chiefs, you don't like greatness. I might have now drifted into that hater category where I'm like, I've seen it. Like, let's do something
I want to see the three-peat.
Maybe I'm bitter because the Cowboys didn't get it in 94.
And then if they get it, I want to see the four-peat. Your team stinks, Kevin.
Oh, they stink now?
Your team stinks right now. Like, my team, just root for something else. Find something else to root for. That's what I do.
I'm rooting for the Bills. Like, that's what I found to root for. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I got a couple of other things for you. We need to have a conversation real quick.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. McConaughey at the Texas games. They said, I'm a Texas fan, but it's definitely McConaughey on the TV all the time.
And I do get that. I'm just saying, can you imagine if that was you? Like, you have loved the University of Texas or wherever you love your entire life. you find yourself fortunate enough to be in a profession where you've gained the money and fame that you can support that team however the hell you want. Wouldn't you be the happiest person in the world? And to know that there's a subsection of this team that hates you because you get to do what they want to do.
Yeah. I would take that job in a heartbeat.
Yes.
I'd be like, yes, please bring me that burnt orange suit. I can't wait to put it on.
Exactly. Let's mark that.
It wouldn't look as good on me, though.
So I got a question for all of y'all, and then we need to talk about something serious for just a second.
Okay.
Okay. On the Twitch, on the YouTube, 877-881-1053, is there an eating establishment that either A, you don't know how you always get back there, or B, you hate yourself for being there?
Oh.
Like you're like, man, why did I do that? Like, why did I stop and eat at this place? Or like, you always vote against it, yet your family or group of friends or whatever always forces you there. I want y'all to ponder that for just a minute. Send in your answers. Franklin Injury Attorney, text line 877-881-1053. I do have to tell you a serious story, though. So Mariano Rivera and his wife, Clara, and this is alleged, are being accused of being part of a child sex abuse cover-up.
Oh, man.
Now, this is an odd story because, and you can read about it, TMZ, this is like kind of their wheelhouse, TMZ Sports, and they said TMZ Sports got a hold of a new lawsuit that, interestingly enough, neither Mariano Rivera or his wife are named in the court documents directly as defendants.
Interesting.
In the lawsuit. However, their names are all over the lawsuit. And the allegation is that they were part of the group that covered up sexual abuse that took place at their home and one of their church's summer camps. And so one of the accusers says that her daughter, which they've identified as Jane Doe, and she's Mrs. Doe, which happens a lot in cases like this, were convinced by Clara, Mariano's wife, in 2018 to go to Florida for an internship at her Refuge of Hope church that they were putting on. And so the accusation is that the daughter was sexually abused by a much older camper who's been ID'd as MG. Again, we might get to the point where these specific names are out there if you want to know them for some reason. And so the mom learned about this and told Mariano Rivera's wife. According to the lawsuit, Mariano Rivera's wife said they would investigate the situation. But when they got back to the camp, they just moved these two people apart. And the lawsuit claims that they intimidated the family and told them to be quiet because they needed to protect their church and their affiliated summer program, which I guess because they're like, hey, if this happens, like we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like our program's done. Our church is done. I don't know if that would have been the way it played out, but that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. And so it's odd to me that they're not listed as the direct defendants, obviously the person who was at the heart of this, but they are mentioned throughout as having like either directly or kind of indirectly trying to cover this up to save their program and their church. And it's just weird timing because we were talking yesterday about the Baseball Hall of Fame and how Mariano Rivera is the only unanimous Baseball Hall of Famer of all time. And we're like, Ichiro missed by one, Jeter missed by one, but everybody voted for Rivera. And then right after the fact, this lawsuit drops that like, it's horrible, horrible stuff.
That is real alleged. Wild. A guy that has a pristine background, you know, like everything you ever heard was just amazing.
You don't remember hearing about his scandals and stuff.
And something like this, he's probably still trying to protect that because this would look bad on me, even though I didn't do anything. But by doing that, it's bad. That's a bad decision.
Yeah.
You're supposed to help those people. You're supposed to help people that can't help themselves.
And so I just wanted to throw that story out because that's something we're going to have to keep an eye out on. And it sucks, not just in sports, but in any place where somebody you admire, either because they mentored you or they're just great. And you see potentially that
it's not quite what you thought it was, or they made, hey, it could be one very poor decision.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it absolutely could be, would be that one thing. And you're like, dang it, they're not perfect. Well, we aren't.
And so allegations at this point, we will keep up on this. Now, This question came up because I think everyone had, well, we've all made really terrible decisions, right? But one of the ones that particularly popped into my mind is there a food establishment or an eating establishment that you leave or you get home and you're like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. That's not even really what I wanted. Or that your family and friends always outvote you on because maybe they're super popular.
Yeah. The fast food one is Cane's. I like Cane's. My kids love Cane's. And therefore, anytime it's, hey, what do y'all want for dinner? It's Cane's. And then you realize my kids have eaten 4 out of their last 6 meals from Cane's. And they didn't okay. even actually have breakfast because they had some Cane's. So it's actually 5. And you're like, how did this happen? Because they love Cane's. And they just convince you that Cane's is the way to go. And then what usually ends up happening is I always have an extra leftover Cane's sauce. Because I order as many as I possibly can. I'm like, what's the limit?
Yeah.
Just bring me the tub of Cane's sauce and I'll be good. But I always have that one left over. And then I'm like, well, what do I do with it? You just drink it because it's fantastic.
You drink it?
Not everybody. Not all of them. But maybe some people do. I don't know. But yeah, usually it's Cane's. The one that I get outvoted on, though, all the time is Pie Tap. I don't know if you've ever been to Pie Tap. We have one in Plano.
I think I did once.
I don't love their crust. My wife loves their pizza crust. And the kids all have something that they like there. And I can't. So I usually, it's Pie Tap. I get outvoted. And I'm sitting there drinking a root beer by myself.
So it's interesting that the two answers you gave are for very different reasons. One, specifically, you don't love the crust. But the first one is because you like it too much.
I like it too much.
And that's what I think about Girl Scout cookies sometimes. I'm like, man, that tag along is freaking delicious. And then sometimes I'm like, how did you eat all those cookies?
And everybody that says, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kevin. Everybody that says Cane's is mid without the sauce, I think you're right. It's not like I think they're the greatest tenders in the world. All right. It's just that. My kids seem to love it, and the sauce is the thing. That is, the sauce is the thing that everybody wants. So I get it. I'm with you on that.
An interesting answer, and I think I felt bad about this because society wants me to, was Golden Corral. I think Golden Corral is good, and I know everybody makes fun of my taste buds and everything, but I think it was afterwards that, like, society wants you to feel bad about eating there, man. And I was like, you know what? I didn't. I thought their bourbon chicken was really good. All right, Alec, is there a place for you, because there are a lot. And another bourbon, one that comes up for me is Olive Garden, because my family is like, hey, we can all agree on Olive Garden. I was like, well, then pick the better version of it in Chili's. I know they have different kinds of food, but essentially they're the same, like, homogenized. Hey, you'll accept this, right?
They have pasta at Chili's.
Yeah.
It's Applebee's, right? You love Applebee's.
There are a lot of similarities in there, I won't deny.
So one that I kind of knock myself for going to a lot, and again, kind of like Corey was saying, I like it. I enjoy this place, but then I eat it. I'm like, why did I do that? Like you were saying, Kevin, I'm like, I didn't even like crave this.
Yes.
It's not what I wanted. It's just what I defaulted to, because there's like 3 of them within a 5-mile radius of my house, McDonald's. Like, if you hate on McDonald's, you do it because, like you were saying, society tells you you should.
And there are plenty of people that are answering with that.
That is the only reason you hate on it. I promise you that, because it's almost as consistent can be. You know what you're going to get every single time. But the one that I get outvoted on a lot is whenever we DoorDash. We have to stay local because we live over by Joe Pool Lake. So, like, a lot of places, just because of the distance of going around the lake, they're like, no, we're not going to deliver to you. So my parents outvote me all the time on Jason's Deli. And
again, good salad bar there.
Yeah, I like it. I prefer going there, for one. And two,
because they got the soft serve ice cream.
Yes. And it's like, I like to build everything. Like you said, the salad bar and everything. I like that stuff. But one, it seems like every time I order, something gets left out. And then two, like, I can make a lot of that stuff at home. Like,
yeah.
I end up doing, like, the build-your-own sandwich. Phenomenal, right? But I end up just getting, like, a croissant with turkey, cheese, bacon, whatever. All of that, it's all stuff I have at home. So I eat it. I'm like, I could have made that in 5 minutes instead of waiting 45 minutes to get it delivered.
Now, this is a fascinating aspect I had not considered from the 214. Little Caesar's Pizza, it's not that good, but the price makes it right. And there are some places that I wonder.
You should have a $2.99 buffet at little CC's, dude.
And I think we've kind of.
Little Caesars, like, man, you had the Bigfoot.
Yes.
It wasn't that great. Yes. You love the cheese.
But
on
how?
It.
Where else could you get that much pizza for $8 or whatever? You can't. I think
you can't even get a frozen pizza for $8 anymore, it seems like.
Sometimes I think that about the two tacos at Jack in the Box. It's either A, because of the state of mind or time of day people go to the Jack in the Box, but I'm like, hey, it's $1.29 for two tacos or whatever it is at the moment right now. You can't beat that. And we've all romanticized the version of, whoa, did they just take this directly out of the freezer and put it in the fryer? And
probably.
Like, here you go. Probably.
The lettuce was frozen moments ago.
But
and
it
you're
was,
like, lettuce? Oh, there, that is lettuce.
But it's so cheap. And you're like, I get it. And then there are other people saying Taco Bell, Poncho's, Arby's, and it's not the eating experience. It's the aftermath that perhaps they don't totally care for.
Oh, no.
With Jack in the Box, back in the day, it was you could get a Jumbo Jack. Or you get the breakfast jack because you can get it at any time. So you get a breakfast jack for tomorrow morning because I'm going to need it with the hangover.
True.
Get a jumbo jack for right now. And I don't like the fries, so two tacos. Like that was always you replaced the fries with tacos. And you had a better meal for $3 than you could have gotten on the meal deal for $6.50.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some people are confusing the convenience aspect of it when they're talking about like, hey, there are way better places you can get a burger than McDonald's. Like, I hear you, but then it's like, hey, you make a left off of Campbell, and then I need you to head towards, and you're like, right on. Or I could just drive my normal way home, and I know that there's the McDonald's
yeah,
right
McDonald's
there.
Is right there.
Yeah,
it or has whatever. What
yeah, whatever your fast food place
it's
is.
It's not my best option right now, but it's there.
And then I love this from the 817. Golden Corral is fire. Thank you for understanding me. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next. It's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Oh my gosh, did this note get this signing done? Plus, you want to be more like Nick Saban and have this kind of regret? Next on the Fan.